So at this time, we can prepare to receive the Lord's tithe, your offering, any missionary faith promises. God bless you. Thank you as you give in this offering, and let's watch this video.
Imagine Christmas is over. All the programs have been performed. All the pictures have been taken. The carolers are done singing. The holiday parties have come and gone. The presents are unwrapped. And the big dinners have all been eaten. The Christmas music is turned off. The family's headed back home. Someone from work is on the phone. The kids have a practice to get to. The house needs to be cleaned. The bills still need to be paid. The groceries are running low. The stock market is still down and up and down. The TV is still on. The news is still worrisome. Life just keeps going as if Christmas never happened. But it did happen. Look around. The church is full of family and friends and laughter. Because the baby is still the Savior. And the Savior is still the gift held out to a world still looking for joy, an earth still waiting for peace, and the peaceful still sing in wonder of the God who gave his Son, and the Son who gave his life to add us to his family, and one day welcome us home. Imagine Christmas is over. But remember that it really happened. And it changed everything.
Have you ever known somebody that said to you, "I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time"? You know what I'm talking about? I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Was that person you? I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, people have said this to me for years. "Pastor Kurt, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time." And over 27 years of wisdom and discernment, I've learned that what that really means is I was doing something stupid and I got caught. Okay? That's usually what it means, right? You know it's true. You know it's true. Well, good news for us is that God has a funny way of showing up when we're in the wrong place. God has a funny way of showing up even at the wrong times. And I want to talk to you about that today. Because as we wrap up Christmas, I want you to think about this. In the great rescue of mankind, which started on Christmas Day, we see this one profound point that God drives home, and that is that God shows up. Tell your neighbor, God shows up. God shows up. And he showed up in Jesus. A long-awaited Messiah named Jesus finally shows up on the scene. He's live and in person. He's on the earth. And this is great news because we've been waiting for a long time. And maybe a few thousand years that we've been waiting for Jesus. He's finally here. It's like, all right, God, let's go. Where do we go now? God, you showed up. What castle do we go to meet you? Oh, there's no castle, God? Like, you're not in a castle? Well, that's too bad. Okay, great, great. Got it. We got to take the castle. What army do I join? Where's the army at? I'll go sign up. I'm in the army. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, there's no army. Okay. No castle, no army. All right, God. Where's the queen? Where's the king? Where's the queen? Because she gave birth to the King of Kings. Let's go meet the queen. What do you mean, God? There's no queen? There's no castle? There's no army? She's just a nice young lady? Not a ruler? Not a celebrity? Not somebody famous? Just a young lady named Mary. Oh, okay. All right, this is different than what I expected. That brings us to Luke chapter 2, verse 16. The shepherds, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. So Mary had just given birth to this baby named Jesus, who was God with us. Just a lady. No power, no wealth, no special privileges that Mary had. In a very real sense, now stay with me here, in a very real sense, Mary was the wrong lady. She was the wrong one. She was the wrong lady to give birth to a king. But she is exactly the kind of lady that God wanted to use. You see, Jesus was born into a world of conflict, of discord, and personal poverty. And from his very birth, he was identified. Now think about this. At his birth, he identified immediately with those that were persecuted, the illegitimate, the homeless, and the marginalized. Jesus arrives on the scene in the midst of military occupation, poverty, and oppression. This is where Jesus shows up. After centuries of occupation, Israel had been under centuries of occupation by other nations. Finally, God shows up. And when he shows up, he proves to the people that I have not rejected you. So the people now know that God has not rejected them. His suffering people, he has not rejected, but instead he has joined with them. God is not disassociated from those who are troubled. Instead, he stands with them. This is critically important. God stands with those that have been oppressed in all of these different ways. And Jesus starts off his time on earth by simply being born to exactly the wrong lady by the world standards. By the world standards, Mary would not be the one that you would expect to give birth to the King of Kings. I highlight this today for a very real reason. I want you to remember that God has a habit of using the wrong types of ladies to accomplish great things in his kingdom. Sometimes being the wrong lady just means you simply come from an ordinary place, a place not highlighted by the world. By the world's standards, in every way, you're the wrong lady. But by God's standards, you are exactly the one that he wants to use to raise up a warrior or a rescuer or a hero. And so, to all the moms today, maybe it's time to stop trying to be the right lady. And maybe it's time to start being the wrong lady, just like Mary. My notes, I made a note to myself. Take mic, drop it to the floor, walk off stage. All right? Okay. That's a really good point. I've listened to countless moms wrestle with the insecurities brought on by a culture that tells them to be the right lady. When all you need to do is be whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Maybe it's time to be the wrong lady. So here we have this newborn king, Jesus, sleeping on straw, probably in a little straw bed, in a shed. And despite his arrival being announced by angels and stars, despite all of that, for the most part, his birth and life will continue as it has begun, marked by the fact that he will be a stranger, unrecognized and unwelcomed as the Son of God. So you have to ask yourself the question. You have to always ask the why questions with the Bible. Why? Why does God choose to turn up this way? Why didn't he show up in a castle with a queen? Why does God choose to turn up in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, to a couple of nobodies? God deliberately planned this, to turn up at the wrong time, in the wrong place, to the wrong people. He did it on purpose. Luke chapter 2, verse 16, we hear about the shepherds. They heard about what God was doing from the angels. And so they hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph there, was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The shepherds in the story, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, shall we say, were not appropriate company. The shepherds at the time were the outcast, the spiritually unclean. These were the wrong people in society. This is not something you grew up and said, oh, I can't wait to be a shepherd. Yet God chooses in Jesus to announce to the wrong people, tell your neighbor, wrong people. He chooses to announce to the wrong people, to tell them first about the young king. They get the first invitation. The wrong people get the first invitation. And so they go and they visit the young king. And then they go tell everybody about it. But in the midst of the story is this undiscussed moment. The moment shortly after Jesus is born. Just imagine all the chaos of birth and Jesus is born, and there's a brand new mother in a very uncomfortable space. And at this very moment, these unclean shepherds walk into the delivery room. These are the people that she would have been encouraged all her life not to talk to, not to look at, not to be seen with. But now they are guests in her delivery room of the young king. And here we see something interesting. She doesn't kick them out. She doesn't lean over to Joseph and say, Joseph, get these guys out of here. She doesn't recoil in disgust. Instead, she recognizes that God has chosen her, the wrong lady, to give birth to the Savior of the world at the wrong time for the purpose of rescuing the wrong people. And from the beginning, Mary was on mission. These were not her friends or her family, but these were strangers, nomadic shepherds, considered untrustworthy, regarded as unclean. But God sends his angels to invite these homeless strangers to come and welcome his homeless son into the world. Perhaps Mary, at this point, had already begun to understand something of God's unusual habit of welcome and hospitality. Perhaps she realized that God had not thought it beneath him to invite himself into her life. And by the time the shepherds arrived, Mary knew that no unwashed outcast could be unwelcome under their roof. She draws them not only into her makeshift home, but also into her affections, into her heart. The scripture says that Mary treasured these moments in her heart and she thought about them often. Just imagine 30 years later. She reflects and thinks back about this group of shepherds that just show up in the delivery room. And she reflects on it with fondness. We see from the beginning of Jesus' time on earth the significance of unexpected and risky hospitality. Right from the very first day that he was born, strangers are welcomed into the most private of moments. This is an incredibly important point. That Jesus is always inviting us into the most private of moments with himself. Throughout the life of Jesus, He will become the one who is always making space. He makes space for sinners and sick people and separated people in order to bring them together to share life together with them. And all the while, the same invitation goes out to the rich and to the righteous and to the royalty, but they miss it. And they miss out on the invitation of Christ to live a full and abundant life. So God shows up to the wrong lady, and He shows up to the wrong people. And God has a fantastic way of showing up in all the wrong places, too. This is really good news for most of you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "After the wise men were gone," so fast forward a little bit in the story, the wise men come, they say, "Hey, how you doing, Jesus?" And they give him some presents, and then they leave. "And after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, 'I called my son out of Egypt.'" So here you have this moment where Jesus is just uprooted. He's a couple years old at this point. He's just uprooted, and he and his family have to run to Egypt, another nation. They are refugees. Some of you in the room perhaps have been refugees. So Jesus was a refugee, and his family, they were refugees over in Egypt. Across the world today, there are millions of refugees displaced from their homes with no desire to have left. And here Jesus is cast out. He's excluded. He's estranged. He's made an outsider and a refugee. In this moment, catch this, in this moment, we see God identify himself with outsiders. God says, "I want outsiders to all understand I've been an outsider too." We see him invite outsiders to come home. In that moment, God became a stranger so that strangers could get to know God. And today, if you know God, that means that you were once a stranger. And you are now to welcome strangers just as God welcomed you. This estranged outsider status of Jesus never really went away. He was rejected by the people of his own hometown. Imagine he would have been a fascinating child to have been around. And after he got back to his hometown, where he grew up with all these people that he knew, a small town, everybody knew each other. He's preaching in this synagogue one day as an adult. And he preaches a sermon about God's concern for the poor and the oppressed. And the sermon was so good that the people took him outside and tried to throw him over a cliff. That's a different kind of appreciation than I'm used to, all right? So just took him out, threw him right over the cliff. That's what they wanted to do. But Jesus, throughout his life, was rejected by the religious elite. After healing the sick and after healing the disabled, he was rejected. He was rejected for his choice of friends, for his choice of food, for his choice of who to forgive. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples, disowned by another, turned on by a Jewish crowd that demanded that Jesus be crucified by Romans. In all of this, Jesus stood in solidarity with others in society who have been rejected and marginalized, have been outcast, have been outsiders. In our modern culture, we might say those who have been bullied. He fraternized with Roman collaborators. I mean, he got to know people that nobody else wanted to know. He got to know and hung out with unclean foreigners, people that they weren't supposed to have anything to do with. Jesus readily embraced them. Jesus had a way of showing up. He showed up in forbidden places. Places that he was not allowed to go. He showed up in forbidden places with lepers. Men and women who were so diseased in body that other people were so terrified that they cast them out. Extreme loneliness would have been part of their life. Extreme pain would have been part of their life. Nobody was supposed to go near them, but Jesus went and embraced them. He went to forbidden places. Jesus showed up also in shameful places. Shameful places, places with the prostitutes and the poor. People that nobody even wanted to acknowledge were really there, just people that were shamed. And Jesus went to these shameful places to make sure that they understood that there would be no shame in the kingdom of God. Jesus showed up in the broken places. Places where people were sick, the lonely, people were grieving, the morally outcast, the rebellious. Just places where people were broken. That's where Jesus went. Basically, if there was a place that society said you can't go, that's where Jesus went. He went to all the wrong places. He went to some of the right places too. Don't get me wrong. But he also went to the wrong places. And this is what he did when he showed up. He showed up and he brought them a message that it's time to come home. Join my kingdom. You are welcome in my kingdom. Let me give you forgiveness. Let me give you hope. Because that's what I've come to do. I've come to destroy every work of Satan and to set captives free. This is the God of the wrong time, the wrong people, and the wrong places. Jesus welcomed the rejected despite himself being rejected. As the worship team comes, the same Jesus, this very same Jesus would die and rise again so that others could be welcomed into his own family. This is the God who turns up to the wrong people in the wrong place. Why? Why does he do this? Because he wants to make sure that all the wrong people in the wrong places get a chance to be in the right place. My challenge for you today is this. Would you consider following this God of the wrong place? For some of you, this means, would you consider following God into the wrong place? The very God who wrote himself into the pages of history at what seemed like the wrong time. Think about this for a moment. Maybe today you feel like the wrong lady. Or maybe today you feel like you're the wrong people. Or maybe you've grown up your whole life in the wrong place. No matter what you do, you just can't seem to get out. If that's you today, then remember this. No matter who you are, God is the God of the wrong lady. Of the wrong people and the wrong place. And just like then, God still wants to do now. He still wants to bring you forgiveness and hope. And he wants to set you free from absolutely anything that is holding you back. Would you stand with me as we close? Close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Worship team's going to lead us in a moment, but before they do, maybe there's somebody in the room today, you need God to show up today. You need God to show up in your life. You need God to show up in your situation. You are in the wrong place right now, and you need to be rescued. Maybe you've been the wrong people for too long, and it's time for you to be rescued. today you need to take a few minutes and let God show up in your life. If that's you today, in just a moment, I want you to come forward and I want you to stand and I want you to pray and I want you to ask God to show up. I want you to ask God to rescue you. Others of you today, you already know. You know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has forgiven you. You believe in Jesus with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. But there's something that's been holding you back from following Jesus all the way. Maybe you followed Jesus partway. But now it's time for you to start following Jesus into some wrong places with some wrong people. It's time for you to just do exactly what Jesus would do. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's a way that you need to respond. Maybe your response to Christmas is, Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Wherever there's a wrong kind of person, I'm going to help. Wherever there's a wrong kind of place, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be just like you would be if you were here in 2017. Seeing exactly what I'm seeing, doing, being with all the people around. And I want you to catch this. If there's a wrong person and a wrong place in these cities, Jesus is already there. So if you want to go find Jesus, go find him where he's at. Let's take some time together today to spend some time in prayer as the worship team leads us.
Father, thank you that you didn't just show up 2,000 years ago, but that you're still showing up today. That you show up today and that you rescue us and that you take us out of the pits that we are in and you grab us and you put us on to solid rock. Thank you that on Christmas we learn. We learn that you've never forgot about us. That you will never leave us or forsake us. And that in Jesus we are all welcome. We are all welcome into your family. We are all welcome into your kingdom. So today, we say thank you for that gift. We receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.